thank you for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it. The last words I heard were, "I will destroy you." That sentence rang in my head, and then after I realized that nude pictures of me were posted online, these sentences rang in my head. I should have known better. I have no one to blame but myself. I brought this on myself. I got what I deserved. Hopelessness and despair, exasperated by law enforcement officials who shook their heads and said, "There's nothing I can do. No crime has been committed," drove me to the point where I was convinced that I had ruined my life, that I was not fit to be a role model to my children. My career as a college English professor was then threatened. Because I believed these things and because I did not have the support outside of my friends and family to bring criminal charges against the person who betrayed me so, I attempted suicide. 27 months later, I have forgiven myself. I no longer believe that I'm to blame, but I am still told that I am. I am still told this is my fault. I am still told I deserve to be raped. I deserve to be beaten for speaking out against people who have been victimized in this way. But what are we telling the people who are posting these pictures? What are we telling the people who are saying to the victims, "I will destroy you. Look out. I'm going to get you. Your life will never be the same"? Nothing. We're saying nothing to them. We're telling them nothing because no crime has been committed. I could have lost my job. I could have lost my home. I could have lost custody of my children. But the person who did this to me, he's still living his life. He's carrying on as if nothing happened. Legislation is a crucial step in decreasing the incidence of revenge porn. Will it end? No. Harassment has not ended. Stalking has not ended. But certainly, historically, we have seen the numbers of stalking and harassment decrease since those laws were enacted. It is up to us, the advocates and the activists, to educate people on the dangers of sharing intimate images. In my work as a victim advocate for the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative, I receive 2 to 3 emails a day from victims saying the exact same thing I said to other people. "Please help me. I'm scared. I don't know what to do." Strangers are emailing me. Strangers are calling me. There are people parked outside my home. We will only be effective in educating these victims of the dangers and future potential victims of the dangers of sharing intimate images only if we have the support of the states in which we reside. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to continue with the... Okay. Next we have Mr. Priebus, Tom Priebus, who is a partner at Piper, DLA Piper, and who's here, I believe, representing the Young Lawyers Division of the Maryland State Bar Association.
That's correct. Although John gave me a promotion, I'm an associate at DLA Piper.
That's
but
right.
Tell Paul Taberzi that when you see him.
That's right. We're working on it, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon. As Delegate Cardin said, my name is Tom Priebus. I'm with DLA Piper. I'm not here on behalf of any clients. I'm here on behalf of the Maryland State Bar Association, the Young Lawyers section of the Maryland State Bar Association. And in particular, I'm here on behalf of a number of clients that I represent. I frequently represent victims of domestic violence. And in domestic violence cases, in particular protective order cases, this is an issue. And it was an issue for one of my clients, and I'll share with you that today. It is important to criminalize revenge porn. From my personal experience, representing clients, revenge porn is far more than a crude form of retribution for jilted exes. It destroys reputation and lives. It causes extreme pain to both the victim and her immediate family members, who I think are forgotten sometimes, which includes siblings and parents who often are faced with the same images on the internet. And I remember speaking to defense counsel in the case that I was talking about where I have a client, and he said, "Go get, you know, I don't think my clients guilty here because there's no law to protect. There's no law here. There's nothing that you can do, really. But I want you to go down to the legislature and advocate for this because I have a daughter, too, and I think this is a terrible thing that people are doing to one another today. Publication of this material undoubtedly is also a means of controlling an abuse victim. It is an act designed to keep them from escaping the cycle of violence. Chairman Valeri and honorable members of the committee, we live in a new age. Social media content is now driven by the ubiquitous camera function of the smartphone. Victims too often, as Delegate Simmons pointed out earlier, are photographed or recorded surreptitiously or even consensually during moments of weakness. It is not unusual for abusers who lack self-confidence and are looking for a means to control to coerce their partners to take photos or videos early during the courting stage, which in an abusive relationship is often a very flowery time where the abuser is acting very nice to the victim, only to gain ammunition to hold over that victim's head when the time comes to